Hey, y'all. So, this week, God, I had to start out like this. This week, God has laid two chapters on my heart like crazy. Couldn't shake it. And I felt like God telling me, like, the very beginning, I have to share that with you all. It's Psalms 51. 1 says, have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. That's Psalms 51, 1. And you all, Psalms 54, 1 says, O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. That's Psalms 54, 1. Psalms 51, 54. The Chiefs lost 51-54 to the Rams Monday. Woo! Boo! Don't you just love it when God's word just speaks to you? I put on my Facebook, I said, look, if we gonna lose, I will wear a Chiefs jersey, knowing full well I would never disgrace my body with such attire. And I called Dennis and Tom, and I said, if y'all lose, y'all owe me a steak dinner. Now notice, I said y'all, meaning individually. So I got two steak dinners ready, and I ain't talking about Steak and Shake, my brother. Y'all go hook me up, all right? Yeah, no, you said it. Y'all, I hope y'all had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Lord knows I did. Now, check this out. This year, we spent Thanksgiving in Illinois on Heidi's immediate side of the family. Now, well, Heidi's side of the family, like with the exception of our few in-laws, you know, we were all in the house and it was packed. Absolutely packed. Now, think about this. Underneath one roof, we had 21 people and two dogs for several days. It was nuts. And out of those 21 people, 11 kids, 10 years old and younger. It was loud, rambunctious. It was crazy. Now, we all knew that it was going to be that crazy. So we sent the kids downstairs for Thanksgiving. So they set up a big old table, just the kids' table. Now, as much as like, oh, that's pretty, you know, that's awesome. You guys set it up for the kids. Like, we just did it because we didn't want to hear their mouths. But the kids loved it. The kids absolutely loved it. And so the kids, it was crazy. Now, do we got a picture of the kids? Look at that, y'all. Look at that. It was awesome. Now, the kids, they orchestrated. Now, we fixed the plates, but the kids, they orchestrated their own little tradition themselves. So before, now again, these kids, they did it themselves. Before they ate their food, prayed and ate their food, they sat around the table saying what they were thankful for. And again, they orchestrated that themselves. And the things that they were saying was kind of cool. My nephew Jake said, I am thankful for God. You know, 8-year-old kid. I'm thankful for God. Maggie said, she looked all around. She goes, I'm thankful for all of my cousins. My other nephew said that he was grateful for his brothers, but my oldest nephew, the 10-year-old, he looked to everybody and he goes, I'm thankful for a nice house and technology, right? We're like, I never thanked God for technology before, but hey, okay, thanks God for technology. And so seeing those kids being thankful for what they for what they have, what they get to experience, it reminded me of my favorite children's book. Favorite children's book of all time. And has anybody in here read Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? All right, got that book? My favorite children's book of all time. I love that book. For my 21st birthday, Heidi bought me that book and gave it to me. I was reading it last night. Now, if you know anything about this, but for those who don't know about this book, that's Alexander, little kid, and he does the exact opposite of what my family did. Like, from the very opening sentence to the ending sentence, all he does is complain the entire book. Complain, complain, complain. He starts off complaining about waking up with gum in his hair. And then he later complains that they're eating breakfast and he has, you know, two other brothers. And they all have their own breakfast cereal, you know, their own favorite cereal. And he was saying like, oh man, my brother found a decoder ring in this box. My other brother found like a magnifying glass or something in this box. But the only thing I found in my breakfast cereal box was breakfast cereal. He went to the shoe store. He was complaining that the brand new shoes that he got wasn't the color that he wanted. He complained about his bath being too hot. He complained that the pajamas that his mom put him in, that he hated pajamas. I mean, complain, 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 complain. Now, I love that book growing up, but I'm reading this book, and I'm like, man, Alexandra was a daggum brat. You know, complain, complain, complain. And think about this. Whenever he was complaining, he was making everybody around him miserable. Now, you know how they say misery loves company? He was making everybody around him miserable because he was miserable himself. And I'm thinking, I'm like, bruh, like, you need to change your whole perspective. Now, think about this. He starts off the book complaining that he woke up with his gum in his hair. That means somebody allowed him to eat candy before they went to bed. He woke up, so he was eating breakfast. He was complaining that he didn't find no toy in his breakfast cereal box. And I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. This brother had his own cereal. He had two brothers. He had his favorite cereal that he picked out. And he's complaining about ain't no toys in it. He complained that the new shoes that he got wasn't his favorite color. But he got brand new shoes. He complained about his bath being too hot, but somebody ran him a hot bath. He complained about the pajamas that he had, but somebody cared about him enough to get him pajamas. Now think about this. He was miserable. His perspective was completely jacked up. Rather than enjoying what he did have, he complained about what he didn't have. Now, church, hear me. Maybe, just maybe, the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days we are experiencing is a direct result of our ungrateful hearts. At times, we get so focused on the pangs of life that we don't notice the pleasantries. We can win a brand new car, and we'd be like, oh, I hate that color. You know? Now, think about this. You know, whenever we go to McDonald's, and good night, I don't know what's the deal with McDonald's and Taco Bell, but the line always takes forever. And I'm sitting in line ready to get my food, and I'm complaining that it's taking forever. And I'm like, wait a minute. I got money to eat McDonald's. I'm about to kill this burger in a little bit. You know, you think about that. Have you ever met a person that's a Debbie Downer? That all they do is complain and complain and complain and complain. What do you want to do? You want to get the heck away from that person because you're like, bro, what are you thankful for? I think sometimes we treat the church like that as well. We come in here, we're like, gosh, it's hot in here. You know? Well, they didn't have any donuts out there. Oh, that coffee was terrible. Did you hear Josh? He was pretty pitchy today. Love you, brother. Just a little bit, you know. But y'all, we get so focused on the pangs of life that we don't notice the pleasantries that's right in front of us. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us. Exactly where the enemy wants us. Now think about this. Go all the way back to Genesis. Now, God created the garden. I mean, it was a perfect garden. Perfect. First he created it, perfection, and then he placed Adam and Eve right there in the middle of it. And then God goes, look, Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat it, you will surely die. So Adam and Eve, that was cool with that. Now think about this. Then the enemy came through, and he was talking to Eve, and he goes, Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat from that one tree? That one tree. Now, look, the reason why God is telling you that is because he don't want you to be like him. Now, if you eat it, you will be like him. And then Eve saw that the tree was good, ate it, and gave it to Adam, who was with him. Now, think about this. Eve and Adam, y'all, they had every tree they could eat from, every single tree. And they were focused on the one tree that they couldn't. And think about these trees. This was before thorns and thistles and parasites. Sin brought all of that stuff in. This was a 100% perfect tree. And they had to their availability every fruit imaginable in its perfect form so they can eat it. Perfect form. And they were focused on the one tree that they couldn't have. You see what happens whenever you have an ungrateful heart? Everything that's in front of you is ignored. Now think about this, church. Adam and Eve were in the midst of perfection. Perfection, and they still sinned. How much more are we liable to sin? They were around perfection and were ungrateful. We're surrounded by imperfection. How much more do we sin? Y'all smelling when I'm stepping in? Church, here's my first point. Having an ungrateful heart gives you an ungodly perspective. Having an ungrateful heart gives you an ungodly perspective. Can you imagine how that makes God feel? Think about you, church. Think about you, parents. You provided whatever for your child. And then your child looks at you with an ungrateful heart. How do you think it makes you feel? How do you think that makes God feel? I remember one time, never forget it. When my mom cooks, she throws down. And whenever I was little, especially when my mom threw down, like we couldn't leave the table unless we finished every ounce of food that we put on our plate, every single one. Ain't done going to waste, right? Now, one day, my mom, she hooked up the meatloaf. She made some meatloaf, and when my mom makes mashed potatoes, ain't no, instant mashed potatoes or whatever. She get the potatoes, and she, get all the skin off of them, and she mashed them down, and she put all of her mom goodness in there, and then she hooked up, she got the corn on the cob and doctored up the corn on the cob, and she made the homemade biscuits. She hooked it all the way up. And I was hungry, and I'm like, oh, it's about to go down. So I got my big old plate growing up, and I put everything on the plate, and I'm like, what would it look like if I just mixed all of this stuff up together and ate it like that? And that's exactly what I did. I chopped everything up, and I mixed it all together, and I was eating it, and I took the first bite, and I'm like, well, this was a big mistake. And I'm eating it, and I'm like, ugh. And I'm like, Mom, can I be done? She's like, nah, boy, you better eat all of that. And I had to force myself to eat all of this food. And finally, when I took the last bite, I don't have no idea what on earth was the young, dumb Richard was thinking. But I said out loud, ugh, that was nasty. And I said that in earshot of my mother. It was like my mom turned around. And it's like I didn't see, like her pupils were completely dilated. And it was, you know how you got the angel on one side and the devil on one side? Both it was like my mom listened to both demons on one side, and they were like, we'll take it from here. And she, and then she just went off on me, just completely went off on me. But think about it, she was like, I spent all of this time preparing this for you. You were ungrateful. Having that ungrateful heart just gives you a whole ungrateful, ungodly perspective. Now let's move forward from here. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, verse 5, verse 16 through 18. Now he says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and do what? Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, notice Paul didn't say give thanks for everything, but he said give thanks in everything. He didn't say give thanks for everything, but in everything. Now, that means in the middle of a trial. Now, in the middle of a trial, I don't know about you, but in the middle of a trial, all I want to do is make things all about myself. It's all about me. I'm experiencing it. It's uncomfortable. I want all the attention on me. I ain't got time for you because it's all about me right now. Anybody else besides me experienced that? But this verse says to give thanks despite my trial. Now, hear this. This means that I got to make the person who is receiving my thanks more significant than myself. Let me repeat that. If I'm supposed to give thanks in all circumstances, and let's say my circumstance is bad right now, I'm experiencing pain, but I'm still required to give thanks in all circumstances, that means that the person that is receiving my thanks has to be more significant than myself. Now, that's a tough thing to do. But God still tells us how to do it. So here's how to do it. Now, check this out, y'all. This is big. We got a chunk to unpack right here. So follow me. So let's break down the word thanks. The Greek word for thanks, we got that, is eucharisteo. Everybody says eucharisteo. Come on, eucharisteo. Now, the root word for eucharisteo is the word charis. The word charis means grace. Now, in Matthew 26, Jesus has his bread, and he took the bread and he gave thanks, then he broke it. So he had the bread and he gave eucharisteo. Now, this means Jesus saw the bread as grace. Now, who is the giver of grace? God is the giver of grace. Grace is favor from God. So that means Jesus saw this bread as favor from God. Now, let's break down this word just a little bit more. Now, in that word charis, you get the word kara. The word kara means the word joy. So this word eucharisteo means grace and joy. So, Jesus gave eucharisteo to this bread, which means he broke this bread, gave thanks. He recognized that the bread he was receiving was favor from God, and it brought him great joy because he saw his Father's favor. That's big, church. That's big. Before Jesus consumed the bread, it brought him great joy of recognizing God's favor. Think about this. The word said God would never leave us nor forsaken us, right? Jesus saw that in bread. This is the favor of God. And I'm excited to eat this. So let's go back to the big question. How do you give thanks in all circumstances? By acknowledging what God has given you in the midst of all circumstances. That's how you give thanks in all situations, in all circumstances. Knowing that God is with you in the midst of that circumstance. If anybody had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, it was Jesus, right? He lived on this earth 33 years being rejected by the people he created. If I just come in the house and I'm not greeted by my wife, I get upset. Anybody ever experienced that? You know, my wife was busy or whatever, and then I'm like, honey, I'm home. Where's my parade? And she over there just doing something, and I get mad. Like, hello, your king is in the castle. God loved his children and they rejected him and killed him. Killed him. Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad, 33 years? No. Jesus was so focused on the favor from his Father, he was unbothered by the difficulties of life. You never see anywhere in the scripture where Jesus got unraveled. Now, we see places where he gets angry, but he wouldn't unravel. It was a righteous anger. I don't know about y'all, but I desire that. Why do you think Colossians 3:22 says, set your minds on things that are above and not the things that are on this earth? Check this out. And we talk about this verse all of the time, that we are seated. You saints, you're seated in the heavenly realms. Heavenly realms. Like, do you have any idea what that means, church? God has set you in the heavenly realms. Did you know the word says that you are co-heirs to the throne? Co-heirs. Oh my goodness, that's huge. That means there's no limit to what God will give you or has given you. And we're so focused about the trials that we experience here on this earth. You gotta be joking me. Last night, you know what? Let me read this verse. It can explain that. I read this verse last night and floored me. It floored me. And now it makes sense. Think about this. Philippians 4:4-9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Eucharisteo. Recognizing God's favor and you being so joyful that God loves you enough to give you his favor with thanksgiving. Recognizing God's favor. Let your request be known to God. And then what? The peace, oh, come on now. Now it makes sense with verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, I love that word, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I am sitting in bed last night, exhausted, sick. I'm running back and forth to the bathroom, just throwing up. It was bad. And I read this verse. And then I studied even more what Thanksgiving was, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So I'm sitting there feeling all of this stuff. And God goes, hey, you know I would never leave you nor forsake you, right? I'm like, yeah, you said that. He goes, now identify it. Identify it. So I'm sitting in bed. And I'm looking in my bedroom, and I'm seeing the wall straight in front of me. And I see a picture of my daughters. I'm like, okay, thank you guys so much for my family. And I'm listening in the living room, and I'm hearing, you know, my daughters, my cousins all playing in the living room. And I'm like, good night, I got a family. And I'm looking around the walls of the house, and I'm like, man, I got a house. And then I'm looking at the Bible right there, you know, that's on the nightstand, and I'm like, I get the opportunity to crack open your word. Like, thank you, God. And then I'm just looking at the computer provided by MBF, and I'm like, and then that reminded me of the family that I have, the church family. I'm like, I have an amazing church family. And then, you know, I'm looking, and I got my, in the bed, I got my sweatpants on and my hoodie, and I got my wool socks, and I'm like, man, I'm good and warm, and I'm comfortable in this bed, you know? And then I'm just noticing all of these things. And then you know what God is saying at the end of every single one? That's my favor, that's my favor, that's my favor, that's my favor. Check this out, y'all. If God said he would never leave us nor forsaken us, for so long, I used to think like, oh no, it's a feeling that I gotta feel. No, God is like, look, open up your eyes, I am here. Just acknowledge it. The favor of God, church, is all around us. All around us. All we gotta do is see it. And y'all, despite the way that I was feeling, it gave me great joy knowing that my Father was with me. Y'all have great joy knowing that your Father is with you. How do you think Jesus was unbothered by all of the junk that went on in the earth? because he saw the favor of God in everything. What was he trying to get the people to do? To open up their eyes and realize God is right here. Accept him and be joyful for it. We have a God who's a part of our congregation, who's laying up in a hospital right now fighting for his life. This man is homeless. Like last Sunday, I saw this guy and I talked to him before I got up on stage, and we were looking for him for weeks. Couldn't find him. He was in the middle. He was in the hospital in Springfield. And I'm asking, I'm like, man, what happened? And he was giving me his laundry list of things that was wrong with him. But one thing he was like, man, I was battling a hypothermia. I never had to experience hypothermia in my life. It was cold outside, and he's living in there in the cold. But you know what? Dennis, Rachel, how many times have we heard that brother complain? I was thinking about it. I've never heard him complain. Matter of fact, all I heard about him was give thanks. He's telling me the story that he is right there with the nurse, and he was just thanking the nurse for what she did for him. If anybody should complain, it's that brother, but I've never heard him complain because his perspective has changed. He just gives thanks to God. And out of that, you know, he serves the church. I showed up here, like a month or so ago, and this dude was out there with some hedge trimmers just trimming the hedges. And I'm like, who told you to do this? He was like, I just wanted to do it. Nobody told him to do it. He just did it himself. He was like, I love this church. I just want to serve it. And he was happy to do it. One day I picked him up, you know, and got him a McDonald's gift card. And you know what he said? He goes, hey, I don't want you to look down. You know, I don't want you to feel sorry for me or anything like that. He goes, I'm good. I appreciate you. I'm good. What makes him good? What makes him good? He receives the favor of God. I don't know about y'all, but that challenged me to my core. To my core. Habakkuk 3:17-18 says this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. That's the kind of joy I desire. My challenge to you all is this. Let's break ties off from this earth. Let's stop being so focused with the pleasantries of this life. Because it's temporary. It ain't going to last, and that's going to let you down. But let's set our minds on the things that are above. Let's acknowledge the fact. Let's acknowledge Thanksgiving. You know when people say let's have an attitude of gratitude? Here's the deal with an attitude. An attitude is just a posture. A posture, that's it. It's not a lifestyle. It's a posture. Let's have the lifestyle of gratitude. You wake up in the morning, thank you, God, for this and this and this and this and this. I was just in one room and was overwhelmed by the peace of God by just recognizing just things that are inside of the room, like five or six of them. And I was overwhelmed with the peace of God despite feeling terrible. You imagine whenever you get up and walk out the door, where you think about God's faithfulness in the past, his favor in the past, what he's doing right now. Y'all, we have so much to be thankful for. How about we allow God to change our perspective and have a heart of gratitude? How about we look at one another? Say, hey, I'm thankful for whatever. You parents who have kids like you know, the kids in the kids department or youth. When was the last time that you took Brian and Rachel by the hands and you go, thank you for grinding to make sure our kids know Jesus. Thank you for that. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time that you just looked at Josh and the rest of the worship team? When was the last time you looked at them like, thank you for grinding? Make sure, you know, to soften up our hearts and so we can worship God together. When was the last time you did that? Insert whatever. MBF will. And we're doing it now. We're going to do it so much more. We will be that church that won't be so focused on the things of this earth. But we're setting our mind for the things of above. And everything, we're seeing God. That's New Beginnings Fellowship. Amen? Y'all, let's stand. Let's pray. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your favor. Thank you so much for your favor, God. You are our daddy and you're madly in love with us, God. We pray that we would acknowledge it, God. Acknowledge your presence. Acknowledge your favor, Father. I pray that we would just have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I pray in everything, in all circumstances, we would just say, Father, of the beauty of God. We would just say so, what you've done for us, what you've done for our brothers and sisters, what you will do. We just say so in everything that we do, God. Change our perspective, God. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all, let's worship together.